doesn't get annoyed and aggravated and overwhelmed with all of our many, many needs and wants. So I'm just thankful that he doesn't have that. He doesn't have that human side to him where he feels annoyed and aggravated when we want to come into his presence and we need things over and over. And it truly is just a breath, a thought. He's just right there, and he never turns us away. He never gets aggravated or annoyed or overwhelmed. He's always right there for us to come into his presence, and I'm so thankful for that. In and out of situations that tug of war at me, all day long I struggle for the answers that I need. Then I come to his presence, and all my questions become clear, and for that sacred moment, no doubts can interfere.
God Almighty. Appreciate that song this morning. Appreciate the King. There is peace for sure in His presence. I know He's with us all the time, but there's just a difference. And I know positionally, being a child of God, we have peace with God. But then there's that practical peace on a day-to-day basis that can be interrupted if we allow it to. I'm just glad there's a place that we can go to where there is peace. And our troubles, they vanish. Our fears melt away. And like someone said one time about prayer, pray until you pray. Pray until you pray. And so we appreciate the Lord this morning. Old Testament book of Psalms, chapter number 1. Book of Psalms, chapter number 1 this morning. And this is where we're going to be for the next few moments. Psalms, chapter number 1. Let's bow for a word of prayer, and then we're going to begin reading in verse number 1. Psalms 1. Father, we love You today. Bless the reading of Your word, the preaching of Your word. Help me, Lord, be sensitive to You. And Holy Spirit, I pray that You'll communicate the truths of Your word to the hearts of Your people. Again, Lord, let us be changed by the time that we leave. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Verse number 1, Psalms chapter number 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. I want to stop there, verse number 4. I know the chapter only has 6 verses, but for the sake of our direction this morning, we're going to stop in verse 4. That's Psalms 1, verse 1, down through verse number 4. This chapter this morning gives us truths concerning the life of the righteous, contrasted with the life of the ungodly. And with that said, I want to mention this morning 4 words for the new year. 4 words for the new year. And I'm addressing the righteous this morning. Those of us that have the righteousness of Jesus within our hearts by the new birth. And let me just say that these four words are not just for the new year, but there are four words that are true and to be practiced all year, the whole year around. Four practical words for the new year. And I hope the message will encourage you and be a blessing as we kick off this new year, being the first Sunday. In verse number one, as we look at four words for the new year, there's the word separate. He says in verse number one, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." And so we have the word separate. I believe one of the best things we can do as we start out this new year is live a separated life from this world. We need to separate ourselves from the world. We live in the world, but we don't have to be like the world. We are called to come out from among the world and be ye separate, saith the Lord. So we know that we are living here in this old sin-cursed world, but we do not have to be like it. We can put up some resistance. And this morning, I wonder, where is our resistance of not living like the world? You wonder sometimes why there's so many empty church pews. And again, I know there is a pandemic. I know there is this virus and other things. But the empty pew thing was going on way before the virus thing. And so you just wonder, is the world becoming more like the church, or is the church becoming more like the world? Who has more influence? Well, I know that the Lord, there the potential for the church to have influence on the world is a great potential. The Lord had those 12 apostles, and they turned the world upside down. But I think in the day and time in which we live, the world has influenced the church a great deal. We continue to have empty pews and a waning from our church attendance, even from those who used to be the most faithful to church. There's been a waning. The best word of advice I can give as we start this new year is to just start separating, really, really putting up a resistance toward the world. Really, really asking the Holy Spirit to help us yield ourselves, help us to yield our members unto Him as instruments of righteousness and not unto instruments of unrighteousness. And so we see in this verse that, number one, there's a downward progression. And notice,
the Bible says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." So there's the word walketh. It's a man who is moving. And then there's
the word standeth. Nor standeth in the way of sinners. So now the walking man has now stopped. And then there's the word sitteth. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. And so now he is sitting. He was once walking. Then he started standing, and then he finished up with sitting. It's a downward progression when a believer doesn't separate from the world. And I want you to notice, number one, when it comes to separating in this downward progression, if we do not resist the world, notice the Bible says, first of all, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. In other words, don't take counsel from the world. And when you don't take counsel from the world, and when you do not take advice from the world, as the world would have it, then you'll be a blessed man. You'll
you'll be much happier in life. Because the kind of counsel the world gives is it follows after a worldly system. And so we see that we're not to take counsel from the world. Don't believe how the world believes.
The world is on a fast slope toward being anti-God, as we all know. The great freedom toward sin in America and in our world tells us where the world is actually at. And narcissism and pride and arrogance has become the norm in America, has it not? It's me and my three and no more. Me and my four and no more. It's pride, it's arrogance, it's anti-God, it's all of those things and much more. We are on a downward spiral heading toward a world of sin. And so we see that there. There's no humility, there's no regret, there's no repentance, no thought about eternity when it comes to this world. And so we see that we are to separate ourselves from this world. We're not to bask in the knowledge or the counsel of this world. As believers, we were not made for this world, but for the world to come. We live by the principles from God's word. We practice kindness and love. We live by faith and we hope to the end. But when it comes to the world, sometimes the world says, give up. Sometimes the world says there's no use. Sometimes the world says you do what makes you feel good, and that's okay. This is the world's counsel. This is the world's advice. And so the book of Psalms starts off by talking about this blessed man, this man who has great contentment and happiness. And the woman that has great contentment and happiness is the person that does not walk out in the counsel of this world. And so we see that this is a downward progression. It's a person who is walking in the counsel of the ungodly. But then notice something else. He says, nor standeth in the way of sinners. And so he was walking and now he's standing. He says, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Which simply means, don't keep company with this world. You see, it starts by receiving advice from this world. It starts by receiving counsel from this world. And then once a person starts to accept the world's system and the world's beliefs and starts to embody those things, it sets you out on a downward spiral. So he was walking and now he's standing in the way with sinners. He has company with the world. So if you keep company with the world, you will soon behave like the world. It starts by taking their advice, then their company. And there's the downward progression. Let me say this. The world, they do things differently. They celebrate differently in life. They have, I don't know, their term and meaning of fun is altogether different than the life of a Christian. And if you keep company with the world and you do not resist the world, you can find yourself in bad company, celebrating things the wrong way, and trying to go after peace and joy and happiness in all the wrong places. So, let me just say that Christians shouldn't go to the bars or nightclubs with the world, like the world. Christians shouldn't worship sports with the world, like the world, out all night on Saturday, and in the bed on Sunday. That's the world this morning. And sometimes if we're not careful, we can find ourselves standing in the middle of bad company, fellowshipping how the world fellowships. Oh, there's nothing wrong with sports, but it cannot become our idol. Someone said one time, I'm going to the bar with so-and-so, so I can witness to them. I don't think so. You see, so-and-so that said, I'm going to the bar to witness to so-and-so. Well, that's not going to happen, because that person will be pulled away from God and seduced by Satan in those kind of environments. It's easier to be pulled down than lifted up. If I were standing in a chair this morning and I had Brother Jeff come up to me and I said, here, Brother Jeff, I want to try to lift you up in this chair. Who do you think is going to budge first, me or him? I will. Because I'm in the chair and he's standing on the floor. It's much easier to be pulled down than to be lifted up. And so when a person is in that kind of environment, they are against all odds. The allurements of sin and Satan will soon quickly seduce the believer. And so don't keep company with the world like the world, and celebrate and do all the kind of things that they do. Again, our first point this morning, we're talking about being separate from the world. We are to show kindness, love, and generosity to the world, but we don't keep company with the world. Now, notice something else. Don't keep company with the world, but then he says, now he's in a sitting position. He says, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. We're not to belittle who the world belittles. The word scornful here means to mock, to ridicule. And I believe the idea here is a person who was walking and standing and now sitting, they have gone further than they thought they would go in this world, to the point where they are keeping company with people who are mocking God, people who are mocking the Christian life. They're now in this company where people are scornful. And so don't belittle who the world belittles. Don't sit with mockers. The world is constantly making fun of Christians and Christianity. I remember back in 2020, well, last year at some point, maybe in 2019, when an old friend called my cell phone and he left a voicemail. He said this. He said, well, I guess you're at church. I guess you're preaching. I guess you're praising the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm glad that church stuff worked out for somebody. That's exactly what he told me. I ran into him at a gas station, me and Lily did. And so we exchanged numbers because he said he needed a little help, you know, around Christmas time. And so we tried to help. And then he, again, left that message. Well, I guess you're preaching. I guess you're at church. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's mockery. That's being scornful. You say, well, Brother Justin, I would never be on such a downward spiral in my Christian life where I would couple myself with people like that and scorn righteousness and scorn God or make fun of Christian people and Bible principles. Don't say you wouldn't do that, because it could happen. You see, the blessed man, the happy man, is the man who is not walking after the counsel of the ungodly, who's not standing and having company with sinners, who's not sitting in the seat of the scornful, but they're opposing that. They are constantly resisting that because they know there's a better life. And so we see that we're not to sit with mockers. You could end up mocking the things of God yourself if you're not careful. So four words this morning for the new year. There's the word separate in verse number one. But then there's a second word I want to mention. And that is the word saturate in verse number two. Notice what it says. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. As we start this new year, let us absolutely saturate ourselves with God's word. Let us saturate ourselves in God's Word and with God's Word. And let us saturate ourselves in prayer. Please, church, this morning, don't let this just be another sermon coming from the pulpit. It works. I'm telling you, it works. Saturation really works. Not long ago, I watched a TV show where there was a stuntman. And the stuntman, he had on a fireproof suit. And so he chained himself up to some kind of, I don't know, some kind of little spot he had where fire was involved, and these chains were involved. And so he was chained up. He had on a fireproof suit. And then his helper put on some kind of paste all over his face, just in case the fire got to his skin, it wouldn't hurt him. And so the helper lit the match, and the fuse was being lit. And it was going all the way around this stuntman. He was standing there, chained up to some kind of block, some kind of mechanism. And I'm telling you, that fuse got up right to his feet. I'm thinking, man, he better do what he has to do, or he's about to be toast. And all of a sudden, it hit the tip of his shoe, and his whole body got engulfed in flames. And then there was smoke, and the EMS and the fire department, they all ran to his aid and put the fire out. And after the smoke cleared, there was this big old smile on his face. It was all part of the skit. He had on the fireproof suit. He saturated his face just in case with that paste so he wouldn't get burned. My friends, this morning, we have to saturate ourselves with the Word of God. Because there is adversity in life, as you know. There is setback, there's heartache, there's struggle. And if we do not saturate ourselves with the promises of God, when those things come, it's going to get real shaky. May even get burnt. But if we saturate ourselves in the Word of God and reassure our hearts with the promises of God, and then we get into a time of prayer and saturate our lives with prayer, we will find that we'll be protected from all the elements of life. Now, saturating ourselves in God's Word works like a barrier. A barrier between us and life. And so whatever happens in life is absorbed by the barrier we created by saturating ourselves in the Word of God. Let me ask you a question this morning. Is your barrier up? Do you have spiritual barriers in your life? Please let this not just be another sermon this morning. Please take it to heart. Is there a barrier around your family? A barrier of prayer around your family? Is there a barrier of God's Word? Do you have God's promises surrounding you afresh and anew in your minds and hearts? Have you created this barrier? Because if you have not created this barrier, or there is a break in the chain link, the chain that's around your life and your family, if one link is broken, the whole chain will be broken. Listen to this. You're either this morning open game, or you're barricaded. You're open game for sin, Satan, and self, or you're barricaded by the word of God from all those attacks. So you're either open game or you're barricaded. Again, by the look of all the empty pews outside of the virus, I know for sure there are families not here because they have not had this barrier. They have not barricaded themselves with the Word of God in prayer. They have been open game, and you can tell it. They're not here. There's no peace in their homes. There's no peace between husband and wife. There's always fighting and arguing, and everybody's unhappy. And the end result of that, no church. And so I implore you this morning, I beg you, even those on Facebook that's watching, create a godly barrier in your life. Surround yourself with the promises of God. Saturate your minds and hearts so that when adversity comes, The Word of God and prayer that you have taken in will absorb that adversity. Doesn't mean we won't feel pain. It doesn't mean that we won't struggle. It just means we'll make it. It just means that we'll be able to go the distance. And so therefore, we need to saturate ourselves. Saturate ourselves. Now, notice the word delight here in verse 2. He says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. If we delight in the world, we will wane from our delight in the Word. Like the old saying goes, either the Word will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Word. And so there has to be a saturation. We have to figure out what we're going to delight in. Now, I know through the new birth that we have a desire for God's Word, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word that they may grow thereby. But we got to decide what we want to do in life. We have to decide how we want to start this new year. Are we going to keep playing games with God? Or are we going to create this spiritual barrier in our life where we're surrounded with scripture and prayer, and we choose to delight ourselves in things such as the Word, things that last, things that are eternal, things that bring real joy and happiness? Or are we going to keep dancing the same old dance? Every time adversity comes, it knocks us off our feet. Every time setback comes, we're depressed for months. Or are we going to get in the Word and allow the Word to get in us? Or are we going to saturate ourselves like that stunt man did so that we won't be burned by the adversities of life? The word delight, it has to do with taking great joy in or contenting yourself. Let us delight in the law of the Lord. Now, notice this, the word meditate. He says, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. The word meditate literally means muttering. It means muttering. It's picking you out a verse and muttering that verse under your breath. And so that's what meditate is. It's not getting in the Word, but it's the Word getting in you. John 3:16. Shall not perish but have everlasting life. What does that mean? That means life everlasting. Not in hell, but with Jesus. Amen, Justin. I think I might preach on that on Sunday. It's muttering. When was the last time you actually meditated in the Word? I mean, outside of Sunday and Wednesday, and no doubt, you know, it's the preacher's job and the Sunday school teacher's job to bring you a word. Well, why don't you try to mutter that word through the week? Mutter. That's what the word meditate means. It means muttering scripture under your breath. It means talking it out. It means trying to understand. It means making application several times, if not daily. I do this, and sometimes it's not even Bible, it's just what I got to do for the day. So it doesn't, if you do that, it doesn't mean you're crazy. It means you're talking it out. There's times where, what do I got to do today? Got to wake up, take Lily to school. Got to go back by the store, got to pay the bills. You know, and Christy can be sitting right beside me. And no, what are you doing? I'm try to talk it out, okay? Got a lot going on today. But the funny part is, this January 29th, we've been married 17 years. I ain't the only one who mutters now. She does some muttering of her own. Sometimes I say, "What'd you say, honey?" Oh, nothing. I was just trying to figure out, you got something going on at work today and thinking about church on Sunday. I said, "Oh, I know." Now we're on the same ship now. And it's not a bad thing talking to yourself. But the Bible tells us here that his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Let us this morning, as we begin the new year, to saturate ourselves in the Word of God in prayer. Let us, as we begin this new year, to separate ourselves from the world. We're in the world, but we don't have to be like the world. We don't party like the world. We don't do like the world does. So let us separate and saturate. Now, let me mention a third thing. We see separate, we see saturate, and then in verse number 3, there's the word situate. Situate. In verse number 3, he says, "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." The word situate. I want you to notice in this verse, there's a tree that is by the water. It is situated by the water. It is arranged by this water, these rivers of water. It's planted by the waters. And so this is where it draws its moisture and nutrients from, this tree. "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water." This tree is situated and arranged and planted. It draws its moisture and nutrients by its roots to those, from those rivers of water. Now, I want you to notice that this tree doesn't need bushes to survive. This tree doesn't need animals to survive. Doesn't need rocks to survive. This tree, the only thing that it needs is the water to survive. And it is arranged, it is planted by these waters. And so whatever happens in its space isn't affected because it's rooted and anchored. Doesn't matter what storms comes around it. Doesn't matter if there's a hurricane or a tornado. Doesn't matter if there's a drought, etc. This tree is planted by the rivers of water. It draws its nutrients. It receives its moisture. It's not dependent upon any animal, not dependent upon a bush or any kind of rock. Doesn't matter what's going on around this tree, because this tree is planted this morning. It is rooted. It is situated. And so I guess you could say that in life, we would all do good if we position ourselves in the right places. If we get rooted and grounded in the Word and draw our strength from God's Word. Listen, it matters where we position ourselves. If we position ourselves with the people of God, the things of God, and get in the Word of God, it doesn't matter what happens in life. Yeah, we'll feel a little bit of sting from it, but we're not casting off our faith. We're not running out of our house with our hands up, feeling like there's no use, because we are receiving our moisture from the Lord. We are receiving our encouragement from Him. And so the Bible says, "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." So this morning, as we separate from the world and saturate in the Word, we will be rooted and grounded, steadfast, unmovable, moving forward, bearing fruit because of our connection to the living water. So this morning, make sure you situate yourself in the right places so you can have a root system and you can draw from God. Position yourself to thrive. And so we see the word situate here. The tree is by the waters. One last thing this morning for the new year. Situate, saturate, separate. But then there's the word sift. In verse number 4, the Bible says, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. The chaff blows away when the wheat is separated. The grain stays planted. There's this winnowing process that takes place with wheat. We know Gideon, he threshed wheat by the wine press. And so what the process is that the wheat is put in the winnower and it's sifted. And the true grain is it stays placed in the winnower. In the chaff, the wind just blows it away. But the grain stays landed and planted in the winnower. And so what we gather from this is that a person who is saved and born again and who is going after God in His Word, saturating himself in the Word, begins to develop roots, a root system. And then when the struggles and troubles of life come, we stay anchored. But the ungodly are not so. They wring their hands at adversity. They turn to drugs and alcohol to cope. They live empty and heartless. They're in despair. They do not stand firm. They are not rooted. Their bones are not moist. But those who hope in Jesus shall not be moved, shall be like a tree planted by the waters. And I'll just go ahead and tell you, last night when I was wrapping this up, that old hymn came to my mind. I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved, just like a tree planted by the waters. I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the waters. I shall not be moved. How about that this morning? We can be sure, we can be steadfast in the Lord. Life does not have to rattle our hearts and change our course. All we have to do is saturate and situate and separate, and we'll find out that those who are sifted and blown away with adversity are those who hope not in God. And so let us this morning continue to hope in Jesus. The Bible says the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. You know, it's been said often, I just don't know how lost people do it. When death comes, when struggle comes, when adversity comes, like someone said, I just don't know how lost people do it. And I really don't. Because I need Jesus this morning. We need Jesus this morning. He's the reason how we're able to continue on in the chaos we're in. But it's true, the lost, the ungodly, those that don't know Jesus, they are tossed to and fro. They're driven away. But those of us that are saved, we just sail on. Father, we love you today. We thank you. We praise you. Lord, I pray that you'll take the message this morning and apply it to the hearts of your people, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that if someone's here that doesn't know you as their personal Savior, let today be the day of salvation for them. And Lord, let us who are saved just set out this new year to separate ourselves, to saturate in God's Word, to situate, make sure we're positioned right for success. And Father, we pray for those who are sifted that you would drive them to the cross to find Jesus. We love you today and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.